1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church." Everybody said the church. The house of God, which is the church. This is the house of God. Amen. And you are the church. Praise the Lord. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. While we're turning there tonight, we are planning, Lord willing, sometime in the month of May, when it will work for those that we want to come, we're going to have our 25-year anniversary services. Praise the Lord. The Lord willing, we're going to do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday services, and we're going to have a good time, have some good men of God to come and preach to us. Praise the Lord, and looking forward to getting that all finished up and ready to go. Praise God. So be in prayer with us about that. Acts 2, 42 and 43, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Praise God. I want to just talk to us tonight, preach a little bit about the church. Amen. The church. Everybody said the church. The church. I want to, if you want to put a title on this, I would like to just title it "The Function of the Church." What's the church all about? Is it just a group of people that get together and shake hands and hear somebody preach? No, that's not what it is necessarily. There is a function. There is a reason that he went to Calvary to purchase a church. He went to Calvary to purchase this local assembly right here. Praise God. That's how important it is to the Lord. And I want to look at it just for a little bit here tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for direction and guidance by the Word of God. Help us, touch us today, and bless us tonight with the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. When we look at the word church here, it is a compound of another word and a derivative of another word, but it simply means a calling out or a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth, or saints in heaven, or both. It literally means an assembly or a church. And so that pretty well lets us to know tonight that our thinking of the church is right on target. Amen. And that what we are involved in here tonight is the church. Praise God. This is not that church. It's not a church. But we are the church. Amen. This is my church tonight. And this is your church tonight. This is our church. We love our church. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for a place where we can come and worship God and fellowship with those that we're going to spend eternity with. Well, praise the Lord. And there's a number of things here that make up what is called the church. If we were to ask that question, we would have to go back to the early church to see what they thought was important and then model ourselves after that. They received, everybody said they received, they established, everybody said established, and then they went outward to reach, everybody said go forth. Go forth. Those are just the things that I want to talk to us about here tonight. Amen. And this may be the right setting for this. I hope it is. But we see the beginning of the church in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Very familiar scripture to all of us here tonight. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And so what we see here in the very beginning is a spiritual church. It is a Holy Ghost church. And the Bible says that they received. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They received. When they came together and they began to pray, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And that's what we need to seek after as the church. Amen. When we come to pray, it's not from 6:30 to 7, amen, and we put in our time. It's not something that goes like that, although many times it is that way, but it's not supposed to be that way. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we come to receive. Amen. And that may sound selfish, but we received salvation when we came to the church. Well, praise the Lord. And if we receive salvation outside of the church, we have all been led to the church. I was reading about someone today, I believe it was, and they were talking about their conversion. And the man and the woman, they began to seek God. And when they did, God filled them with the Holy Ghost right there in their home. They didn't know anything about Pentecost. They didn't know anything about the church. And so they began to immediately look for a church that believed that. And thank God they were led to a one God apostolic church, and they grew in the Lord, got excited about God, and then the Lord called them to preach, and they established a good work for the Lord. Amen. And they're now retired. But just wanted to use that as an example tonight, that when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive unity into the body. Praise God. We receive a mandate from God that we are all filled with the same Spirit. We are filled with the same Spirit. There's only one Spirit, the Bible says. Amen. There's only one God. There is only one plan of salvation. But beyond that, when we receive this glorious salvation, we receive an invitation to come and be a part of the body. Amen. And when we become part of the body, there are many members to the body. There are many bricks in a building. There are many pieces to a building. But each one does its job, amen, and stands there and does what they're supposed to do. And that's how it all functions together. Praise God. Everybody's not an eye. Everybody's not an ear. Everybody's not a foot or a hand. Amen. That is given to individuals by the Lord. Praise God. And it just happens naturally when a child grows in its mother's womb. It grows naturally. It grows its hands and its feet. And those were things that were designed ahead of time by God. Amen. And there's not one better than the other, and there is not one that is not needful. Amen. Every one is needful, and the parts of us that are not comely, in other words, the ugly parts, the internal parts that do their job. I was reading about some parts of the body, the liver, and how the liver is one of the most main functional parts of your body. And if you have liver problem, you really got problems. I'm not going to show us a picture tonight of your liver. Probably some of us would have to get up and go out. Amen. It's not beautiful. It's not good to look at, but it's a very needful part of the body. Amen. It does a work that the hand cannot do. Amen. It's just that the hand is seen, and the eyes, they have a very special function, and the head and the feet and everything. Those things are the things that we see on the outward, and oftentimes that's all we look at is the outward. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, the things that are not seen are the things that are very important. Praise God. And without them, we would have a lot of problems in the body. And so when we look at the church, one of the functions of the church is receiving. Amen. It's not wrong to come to the house of God and to say, I need to receive something from God. I need a touch from God tonight. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's how we came into the church. That's how we're going to stay in the kingdom of God. That's how we're going to flourish. That's how we're going to grow in Him and become what He wants us to be. God help us that we never get to the place that everybody feels like they're not receiving something when they come to the house of God. And it's very important that when sinners come, they receive something in the house of God. Well, praise the Lord. They may not accept it. They may not understand it. But they have to receive something. We need to show the visitors real Pentecost. Amen. We need to be able to answer their questions. We need to be able to teach and minister the Word of God to them so that they can receive what they need. Amen. A child that does not receive what it needs in the beginning many times is stunted in its growth, and it never recovers from that. God help us never to take the brand new babies that are among us, amen, and not give them the proper things that they need, amen. That's what a strong body is about. We're not here tonight just to receive, but we are here to help others to receive. Well, praise the Lord. Mama that makes dinner, amen, for her children, she is giving, but she is receiving at the same time. She fixes the meal, they receive the meal, but in reality, she receives the meal as well. Amen. There is a difference, of course, but when we are all together in the same house, amen, that house is there to receive something. Well, praise the Lord. And here they receive the Holy Ghost. We all receive the same Spirit, and we all receive the same Word of God. Amen. There's no place for dissension from the Word of God and dissension from the church. Amen. It's like the hand saying, I'm going to go over here and do something by myself. I've seen those that have tried to do that, and it never worked. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I've seen it over and over again. I won't go into that, but it is a reality that is in our world. Amen. There are those that feel like because the hand has been used in certain things and did certain things, it never considered that it did those things because it was connected to a body. Amen. You can never get to the place where you feel like you can do things on your own. I don't feel like I can do anything on my own. Amen. I need to be a part of the body. Somebody said amen. And we receive the Holy Ghost, but not just the Holy Ghost. We received the Word of God. And in more specific terms tonight, we receive the gospel. And Paul talks about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, and he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Amen. I was going to preach on the gospel today, but I decided not to, and I think that we have found the vein of the Holy Ghost here for the Word of God. He said, I declare unto you. And so when we come to the house of God, we hear the declaration of the gospel. But it's not just a declaration of the gospel. He said, which also you have received. Amen. And so when we come to the house of God, we should be ready to receive what God has for us. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. Amen. If it's the will of God that I get healed tonight, I need to receive that from God. Praise the Lord. If it's the will of God that I hear a message, I want to receive that message. Amen. I don't want to come here and be all focused in on one thing and miss what God has for us. Praise the Lord. I've been in services where the Lord tried to move, but we didn't have the right response to it. Amen. That's not a condemnation. That's just a fact tonight, and it happens sometimes. But what we need to do is we need to develop the idea and the understanding. I'm here tonight to receive from God. And not only that, I want to try to help somebody else to receive from God. I want to be a blessing to someone so that when they came to the house of God, they were lifted up. I don't know how many folks have told me that every time they come to the house of God, they receive something. And that lets me to know that I'm at least doing my very best to bring the Word of God and to promote worship and the presence of God among us. Amen. We've got to receive something when we come to the house of God. If we don't receive anything, our children are not going to receive anything. But we need to receive it so our children can receive it. Amen. So that when they grow up in the house of God, amen, they will know that there is a place where they can receive something from the Lord. Amen. And so we received it. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's an exciting scripture right there, because healing and forgiveness go together. There is something about the gospel and healing. There is something about the gospel and the gifts of the Spirit. We could go into it here tonight, but I'm thinking of Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, verse 1 through 6, that when they laid their hands upon them, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and prophesied. Amen. And the gifts of the Spirit were immediately in operation. The gifts of the Spirit are not just for those that have been around a while, amen, but it is for those that have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I don't know why whenever we teach on this, it gets really tight, amen, but the gifts of the Spirit are for the church. And when we come to the house of God, we need to receive the Word of God, not just in a message, but through prophecy. Amen. Through interpretation of tongues. Amen. Gifts of healing. And all of the fruit, or the gifts rather, of the Spirit. It's for us today. And maybe we don't preach it enough, and I'm sure we don't practice it enough. Amen. We come to the house of God sick, and when the invitation for healing comes, we stay where we are because I really don't know why. Amen. I'm in the church tonight. I'm a part of the body. The body knows how to heal itself. Amen. The body knows what to do in that kind of situation. We go to the doctor, don't we? And we pay good money to go to the doctor. And we believe the doctor. We do whatever the doctor says. Well, praise God. I felt Dr. Jesus here tonight, and I know that he is able to heal us to the uttermost. When we come to God's house, we need to receive. Amen. It is a place for receiving. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intending to bring this man's blood upon us. Praise God. The word doctrine in our generation is something that is looked down upon. It is looked down upon as something that is religiously dogmatic, amen, narrow-minded, close-minded, and all of that. It is looked down upon even in churches, amen. Many, many of our churches across the land, I pray and not in the apostolic church. I've never seen a church that did not focus at least part of it upon teaching. Amen. But what we need to receive when we come to the house of God is the Word of God. Amen. And this scripture here in Acts chapter 5, the apostles had been teaching. Amen. They had been teaching. The Bible says that they should not teach in this name, but they had filled their city, Jerusalem, with the doctrine. And look at it here. When the doctrine goes forth, when the doctrine of one God goes forth, amen, it spreads the blood of Jesus all around. Amen. He said, you're intending to bring this man's blood upon us, and we don't want the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't want anybody telling us that we're not right. Praise God. I'm telling you what, there is power in doctrine tonight. Amen. There is power in the teaching of the Word of God because it gives us direction. It gives us the food that we need to grow spiritually. And of course, it's not the only thing that is in the church. I've seen churches where it is just teaching, and you have very strong congregations, but many times the worship and the gifts of the Spirit are lacking because there is just teaching. Amen. But teaching will establish a person for the rest of their lives. Praise God. You young people here tonight, you've got a tremendous opportunity to get a hold of something that is so solid for the rest of your life. And you may not understand it right now and may not experience it right now, but when you get married and have your own children, all of a sudden you're going to be thinking, what do I do? I'm serious. What do I do? What should I say? What should I not say? And all of a sudden, the house of God becomes a very important place. And we begin to go back. Amen. I remember when I first started pastoring, and there is nothing like it in all of the world. And in fact, the very first church I pastored was really not an apostolic church. It had the name on the outside, but there was so much sin and so much rebellion in the church that I don't think there was anybody that was really living for the Lord except one of the old gentlemen. Amen. And I think his name was Brother. No, that wasn't his name. That was another church. Amen. But we had one good church service in there, and he come to me after the service, and he said, man, that was like camp meeting tonight. Praise God. But the others didn't like it. We didn't preach holiness because we saw it was a major concern in the church, and we wanted to draw them closer to us before we introduced it to them. But it was more than that. When you're outside of holiness, you go into an area where they talk about liberty, where they talk about diversity, amen, where they talk about, you know, it's all about how you feel. The truth of the matter is that charismatic love spirit, amen, is really very mean, amen. And it can turn really quickly. Amen. And it did. But I remember when things began to come up, my first thought was, what would my pastor do? What has the pastor said about that? What should I do? Amen. I'm thankful that I had some direction in my life. I'm thankful that I had some teaching in my life, and it brought me through that trial and that situation. Teaching is very powerful. Come on, somebody. It is very, very powerful. And because when we receive the teaching, amen, of the Word of God, we are literally putting up a fortress against the enemy. Praise God. God knew, I'm not going to get off onto politics here tonight, but God knew that there had to be walls in our lives. I was thinking about it. I got a lot of walls in my house. And if walls are immoral, I've got real problems. Amen. But I'm thankful for the outside walls of my house. I'm thankful for locks on the door. I'm thankful for my shotgun that's laying right there beside my bed. Praise God. I'm thankful that I've got some protection and some safety. Well, somebody ought to just smile a little bit. Amen. Don't come breaking into my house in the middle of the night. You might not like it very well. Praise God. And it's not salt pellets in there either. Well, glory to God. I'm thankful today for walls. You know what teaching does? It puts walls up around us. Amen. Well, I want to get outside the walls. I want to do something on the outside. Jesus said, He is the good shepherd. Any other shepherd, He said, the shepherd knows his sheep and he brings them into the sheepfold. You do a little bit of study into that, and the sheepfold was a place where they kept the sheep, and there was a wall around there. He said, the thief and the robber, they come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. The walls that are around us of righteousness and holiness are there for a reason. Praise God. Because we get outside the wall, we're going to be like the prodigal son, and we're going to end up in the pig pen, and we're going to end up with nothing. We're going to squander everything that our Heavenly Father has ever given to us. We can make it back, but I'll tell you, it'll never be the same. It's better to stay within the walls of the house of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And the Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so when they did, they began to teach the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And they were ignorant and they were unlearned men, but the church grew to some 50,000 members in Jerusalem, and then it began to spread out from there. But they taught the doctrine of the apostles, which they received from Jesus, which was fulfilled from the Old Testament. You read in the books of 1st and 2nd Peter and John and those other writers there in the New Testament, in the epistle part of the New Testament, they quoted Old Testament scriptures, and then they applied it to their lives right then. They didn't have New Testament scriptures to go by, and so they knew something about the Word of God. And then all of a sudden comes along the Apostle Paul, and Paul, my, what a teacher he was. And I don't know if we could handle his teaching. I think I could. I really enjoy the writings there of the Apostle Paul. They're very deep, sometimes hard to understand, and you've got to really apply and dig deep in order to understand what he was saying. But he would teach so long that people would fall asleep. Amen. We're in a generation today, and I'm not being critical, but I was told one time by a minister's wife, if you can't get it done in 20 minutes, you might as well give up. Well, I'm telling you what, I don't know if I could live on 20 minutes. We're about there right now. Amen. And I got a feeling that I'm not even close to being done. Praise God. Well, I don't have a long time to go. Don't worry. But they continued in the apostles' doctrine. It is important tonight that we receive the Word of God. Somebody help me here. There are different areas of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teachers. For when for the time, there is a time that we should grow up in God and leave some things behind us. We should establish the principles of the doctrine of Christ and then go on to maturity. Amen. Go on to the will of God for our lives. Amen. Go on to being someone who teaches rather than somebody who always needs someone to coax them along. Let's look at it here. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Everybody said use. You got to do something with your muscles. Amen. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. There is something about the Word of God. It needs to start out with the milk of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's not for new converts to go deep into the Word of God. It's not for new people, amen, to understand all of the complexities of the book of Revelation. Amen. It's not for the new ones. You know what it is for the new ones? To just be held by mama, amen, and when you're hungry, mama feeds you. And that goes on for a good little while. God made it that way. Amen. That mama would feed. You know who mother is? Mother is the church. Praise God. Zion is the mother of us all. We should have a nurturing capacity here among us so that when the new ones come, let me tell you something tonight. You don't need to be going over to the new ones and say, you need to do this and this and this and this. I'm telling you what, God writes it on the tables of our heart, and God will put it in there, and the Word of God will confirm it in His time. Well, praise the Lord. It's very important how we pray with people at the altar. Amen. We can't shake them. I've seen folks shake people at the altar, and they're talking in tongues, and the person's just standing there looking around like, what in the world is going on? I'll tell you what, you can abort that child before it is ever born if you're not careful with it. Amen. Mother has to take very much care when she's carrying that child, because any jarring or any sudden thing that happens could damage that fetus that's on the inside. We need to be careful, and we need to understand the need for the milk of the Word of God by the new ones. You say, well, they don't relate to me. I'm further down the road. Oh, aren't you glad your mother didn't feel that way when you were born? Amen. I'm further down the road. Take care of yourself. Somebody else will take care of you. Somebody else that's a little bit closer to your age is going to help you. Oh, listen, we got to grow up, and we've got to understand that the Word of God is to be received from me, but it's not just for me, it's for the new ones that come as well. Well, praise the Lord. New ones are excited. Amen. And they get the old ones excited. Just wait till they're hungry. Everybody in the house gets excited. Just wait till they learn how to walk and everybody gets excited. Amen. Just wait until they start talking and they get everybody excited. Amen. Praise God. I remember somebody, I won't even go into this here tonight, but they were new and didn't really understand everything. And I heard them praying one time, and they said, oh God, heal us, Lord, like the woman with 12 issues, amen, and had it all wrong. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, but he was praying that she would be healed from her 12 issues. And I could just only imagine, praise God. And I just had to chuckle, you know. When little Brennan gets to doing his thing, I just have to chuckle, but it brings life to the situation. We were leaving church one night, and he had his bow and arrows with him, and his imaginary arrows, but he had a real bow, and it was strapped around him. And we got to the front door. We were visiting and chatting, and all of a sudden he stops, and his eyes get wide, and he said, "There's a tiger out there by your car." And he said, "It's so big, it smashes everything in the world." And so he takes his bow off and his imaginary arrows, and he starts shooting out the front door of the church. And he said, "I got him. You can go to your car now." And we said, "Thank you, sir." And in our mind, we were just laughing and having a good old time. I like that sort of thing. I like it when people have imagination, amen, and they're excited about life. Praise God. I get tired of folks that come to the house of God and look like they've been sucking vinegar or something. Like a big old bump on a dill pickle. Praise God. Everything's bad, nothing is good. Hey, let me tell you something. We need to go back to the milk of the Word, and the milk of the Word says God is for us. Amen. We got to get that in our hearts, and we need to encourage those that come that are excited. Amen. I want to stay excited till Jesus comes. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers," but then he said that strong meat, everybody said strong meat. Strong meat, that gets down to some very important things. Some very nourishing things. Amen. Can't live on milk all your life. Amen. Gavin, you can't go get in your mother's lap and she has a big old bottle like this and she puts it in there. And that happens 3 or 4 times a day. Amen. Can't do that. I think Isaac probably likes to get in his mother's lap still, so I won't do that. I'm not going to embarrass him tonight. And that's okay. He's sitting up here with the big boys. He is a big boy. He's growing fast. Amen. I'm telling you what, we would look at that and we would say, we got a problem here. Amen. We got a problem. Mother hasn't changed things very much. "Oh, well, I just want him to be a baby all the time." Oh, God, help us. You know what? We expect them to grow up, and we expect them to eventually get a job. Amen. We expect them to take out the trash. But at the same time, we can't expect them to do that if all we're giving them is milk. They've got to have more than that. Amen. We had Parmesan something or other. What was that? Those little green balls. Brussels sprouts. We had a Parmesan Brussels sprout. Parmesan cheese and Brussels sprouts. Oh, man, if you hate Brussels sprouts, you'll like these. And the cheese, and you put more cheese on there. We go to Olive Garden once in a while, and he says, "Would you like some cheese?" I said, "Yes, we want the whole experience." And he says, "Tell me when to stop." And he just keeps on going and going and going and going. And, well, you can go as long as you want to go because I like that stuff. Amen. Give me a ribeye. Amen. Give me something that has a little bit of substance to it so when I'm done eating, it gives me energy. Amen. Helps to grow my muscles. And I can be strong, and I can do things, and I can prosper, and I can be blessed. You're never going to be blessed for the long term, laying in your crib. Amen. not going to be strong for the long term with just always needing. I need. I can't grow. I can't achieve this. I don't have the muscles. I don't have the strength. Hey, let me tell you, it comes from the Word of God. The milk of the Word is what we receive when we come, but eventually we need to be able to handle the strong meat. Amen. We need to be able to handle, and some folks, I have a different viewpoint on it. I think that the strong meat, there's a lot of different areas of strong meat, but holiness, the holiness standards of living is stronger than milk. Amen. It's stronger than milk. It's more like a baby food jar. Amen. And you go from milk to something else. We're not too far from doing that with little Isaiah. And I can't wait to get a video of what he's going to do when that first little spoonful of food gets in their mouth. Oh, the faces they make. And all of a sudden their mind is stimulated and their taste buds are stimulated. And it's a brand new experience in their life. Oh, it's exciting. And then before you know it, you introduce this and that and the other. And it's just exciting to grow. Praise God. It really is. And the Word of God, the meat of the Word of God, goes down to, understanding the working of the Spirit of God in our life, understanding redemption, understanding what really took place, having a deep understanding of the oneness of God. Amen. Having something so deep in your heart that you're never going to go back to that baby stage again. When we come to the house of God, we receive the Word of God. Amen. When we come to the house of God, one of the functions of the house of God is growing, and it goes right along with what I've been saying. Amen. They say that the wasting away of a body, part due to inactivity, is called atrophy. Amen. It is a medical term, and it literally means that. It means the wasting away of a body part or a complete body due to inactivity. Amen. And so we have to grow. And when we grow, we start out learning how to hold our head up straight. They're really cute like that. They can't keep their head up. You got to hold their head, or you're afraid that they're going to break their own neck, you know. And then all of a sudden they get it like that, but then their back muscles are not developed. So we give them tummy time, and they put their little legs up, and they put their head up, and their hands go down, and they work those muscles in their back. Oh, my. They'll sit in their little carrier, and they'll kick their legs back and forth from 5, 10, 15 minutes just going somewhere. I don't know where they're going, but you know what they're doing? They're exercising those little leg muscles. And their little toes are moving around, and their feet are constantly moving around. And they'll grab a hold of something with their hand, and all of a sudden their hand comes out, and then they come back and grab it. You can do that for a long time. And they'll grab their feet and pull their feet up to their face and put it in their mouth. And you say, where do they come up with all this? It is the body's natural response to life. Amen. It is the body's natural response that I have got to be doing something. God help us that you young men and young ladies don't get to the age of 30 and you still don't have a job and you're still living at home. Amen. Drawing off of mom and dad. There comes a time when you got to stand up and become your own person. Praise the Lord. By reason of use. Amen. I'm using this. Somebody said one time, a real famous athlete person, they said the only way to hurt your body is not to use it. Amen. What we must do spiritually is we must exercise ourselves. When someone on your job says, I'm sick, hey, would you like for me to pray for you right now? Would you like for me to pray for your need right now? Amen. Don't get quiet on me here tonight. Amen. It's not just enough to come to church. Amen. To sit and hear sermons, amen, and eat the food of the Word of God. We got to go out the door of the church and we got to do a work for God. We got to do a work within the house of God. Praise the Lord. The only way to really learn how to teach or really learn anything is go ahead and teach it. Amen. Just go ahead and teach it, and then you'll learn it a whole lot better. I've seen folks that, just like me, when I first taught my first Bible study, I didn't have a clue as to what was going on, but thank God I had a teacher's manual. And I got the teacher's manual out, and I got through the first lesson, and I went and taught the first lesson. This is our teacher's manual right here. Amen. We don't have to know how to do anything. We just got to get busy and get started. I never knew how to build a deck until I hired on a deck crew. And give me a 2 or 3 months, and brother, I'm telling you, I can build you a deck. Amen. And I can do it pretty quickly, too. We got to the place where we would build 3 decks in 1 day. Amen. At different locations. Praise God. Put a new crew out there that don't know anything about construction. It's going to take them 2 or 3 weeks to build that deck. Praise God. We've got to use what God gives us, and that's what comes from the house of God. That is the function of the house of God. It says in Genesis 2 and verse 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And so when God made things in the very beginning, He made them to grow. Praise God. Luke 12 and 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not and they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Praise God. God will take things that are common and ordinary and make something special out of them when they grow. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Praise God. There is a growth that God expects in us, and we should expect to do it ourselves as well. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We were created. This church was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ so that you and I could grow in the church. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Those little bitty fingers are now going to become big fingers. Amen. When the little baby grabs a hold of your finger, his little hand won't even go around your index finger. And they love to grab a hold of fingers. There's something about that. And their little bitty fingers are not going to be little bitty anymore. Before you know it, he's going to be standing up, looking you eyeball to eyeball and saying, Dad. And Dad's going to look at him and say, this isn't my little baby anymore. Praise God. This is what somebody called the consumer. Amen. Hebrews 5 and 15, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Amen. The Bible says we are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a little bitty tree. Amen. I got some seeds when I was in Texas. They got all these really neat looking oak trees down there. They're really strange looking, but they're really cool. And everybody's got them in their yards, and they use them as decoration. Brother Riley has got thousands of them in his yard. I picked up a half a dozen dozen of them. I put one in a pot, and brother, within about a week, there's a little bitty sprout comes out, and every day it grows about an inch. Amen. It gets tall. It's about that tall right now. And all of a sudden, leaves are coming out on it. I don't know if it'll handle the weather up here or not, but I'm willing to give it a try. And you take that little bitty seedling or sapling, and you put it down in the ground, and it begins to grow. That's the way it's supposed to be with you and I. Praise God. We receive the Word of God when we come to the house of God. And then, lastly, the church is here to go. Amen. We're here to grow, but we're here to go out from the doors of this place and share the truth with somebody else. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. I'm not going to preach much longer. But it is the will of God that we reach out and that not just individually we grow, but corporately we grow. That these empty places in the pew get filled up. Amen. I know it looks a little empty tonight, but that's okay. Amen. There are cycles and there are seasons. But I'm telling you what, they went forth in the early church. And that's why they had such joy. Because sometimes we get so settled in the church, we know how to do everything. We got the sound system figured out. We got the music figured out. We got the preaching figured out. We got the worship figured out. We got the prayer time figured out. We got the cleaning figured out. We've got the Sunday school figured out. Amen. And we've been doing it a while, and we can do it with our eyes closed. And isn't it amazing that when that takes place, all of a sudden the miracles go like this? All of a sudden, there are things that crop up among us that we have to deal with. All of a sudden, there are situations and circumstances that arise among us. Oh, God, help us. You know what the greatest thing we could ever do is get out of ourself. Amen. I said get out of ourself and go out the door of the church and share this with somebody else. I've had a lot of trials and troubles, but I'm telling you what, the thing that has really helped me is to sit down across the table with somebody that doesn't know anything about God and to see them come to God and to see the attitude and the excitement and the victory and the joy that they have. It teaches me something. I need to go back to that place. Amen. My trouble is not that bad. Amen. This person's got a lot of trouble, and look what God did in their life. Amen. If God can do it for them, He can do it for me. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not supposed to grow in God just so that we can go to the gym and see how much weight we can lift. Praise God. Praise God. I see those guys and they make their extra noises that go with it. And everybody can hear. And when they're done, they drop the weights from as high up as they can and the whole building shakes. And they stand up and they look at themselves in the mirror. I thought to myself, I wonder how long this dude would last on a construction crew. Because all he's done is lifted a few weights and built up some muscles and looks really good. But I'll tell you what, you get out there, amen. I'm telling you what, some of us older guys have been out there and done it. The younger ones that's got the big muscles, they last a day or two and then they're gone. They're looking for something that's a little bit easier. I can't handle this. I'll tell you why, because they're really not using their muscles. They're just building their muscles up. Amen. God did not save us and grow us to this place so that we could have every service is a production. Amen. Every service is just coming here and lifting spiritual weights. Amen. And measuring our arms to see who's got the biggest arms. Amen. Looking at each other just to see if we're better than them or they're better than us. God help us tonight. He gave us the strength that we have. I hope that you're receiving this the way that I'm giving it to you tonight. Amen. He gave us what we have so that we could use it by reason of use. Amen. Mark chapter 8, chapter 16 and verse 19. It says, the Lord had spoken to them, and he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You know where the biggest problem that Jesus had to deal with? It was in the synagogue. And he came to the church folks that had been there for millenniums. Amen. And he healed somebody in their midst, and they crossed their arms, and they said, we've got to do something about this. He's upsetting our program. He's upsetting the things that we're used to. Oh, but there he was, their Messiah, right there in the midst of them. It was in the temple that he got the most grief. It was in the temple that he had to get a whip and drive the money changers out. Amen. It was to the Pharisees and the scribes, the ones that had it down pat. They knew everything forwards, backwards, and upside down. Amen. Those were the ones that gave him more of the problems than anybody. It was where the miracles took place, was out where the sinners were. Amen. The miracles took place out on the field where people followed him and hung on every word that he said. Amen. They reached out and touched him. They waited up in a tree for him to come by. Amen. They went the extra mile because they really had a need in their life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's where the confirming of the word and the signs follow, is where there is belief. Amen. And we really believe God when we step out and do something for God. John 4:35, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. That's what we say. But he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Praise God. I know you're ready for me to finish here tonight. But I'm telling you, we can't look out and say, in 4 months we'll get it done. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll go out and work. No, but he goes out in the course of the day, in the early morning, and he says, will you work for me in my field? And he hires somebody. And then few hours later, he says, will you work for me? And he goes out and works for him. Until the last hour of the day, he's still out there looking for somebody that will go. He says unto them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. It is truly great. Oh, there is nothing like revival. There is nothing like revival. Amen. Sometimes, and I've seen this, and thank the Lord it's not here in our church, and I pray that it never gets to that place. I was with my brother the other day, and we were he invited us out for dinner, and we went out with him, and we were just talking, and they said, how did your Christmas go? And I said, oh, our Christmas was great. I had my grandson there. I said, it's a whole lot better to have a little child that's crying and fussing and laughing at the same time and all of that, I said, then being around a bunch of old folks that just talk about what kind of medicine they're taking. That's right. And where their surgery took place and how long it's taken to heal up. And Lord knows we've all had that, and some of us recently. Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you what, there's something about the great harvest. Praise God. And a new convert will come in and say, I remember when I was a new convert, I read one of the parables and God gave me the understanding of that parable. And I went to one of the older brothers in the church and I said, is this what this means? He said, yes, it is. Oh, I was so excited because God spoke to me about the Word of God. And he probably looked at me and said, oh, little child, amen. But it's exciting. It's so exciting. You folks look really excited tonight. Amen. Praise God. The day, I pray the day never comes, like Brother Solace said when he was here, that he has to repeat himself several times during the church service because they've got mostly old folks in their church. Praise God. What? What? God bless my dear mother-in-law. That's all she said. What? She'd say, what? And then she'd say, be careful. That was her famous words. Amen. And I'd say something, and she'd say, what? And I wouldn't repeat it after her, and then she would answer the question. But that was her way of getting into a conversation. She heard me, but it was just, you know, that's just the way it was. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I don't want to just sit around, amen, when we come to church. And, shake your hand. Praise the Lord. Shake your hand, praise the Lord. Go out the door, come back in, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. After a while, that gets pretty old. Amen. Well, come on, somebody. I like it when someone like Deontay comes in. When he smiles, his whole head lights up. All you can see is teeth, amen. Like right now, praise God. And he'll come up, praise the Lord, Brother Worse. How are you doing? How's your week been? I know it's from his heart. Amen. Praise God. But then, oh Lord, help us. How are you doing, brother? Oh, sometimes you don't even want to ask that question. Because you're going to be there for a while. And you're going to hear everything that you've already heard before. Amen. We had an old preacher here one time at one of our meetings. He wasn't apostolic. He was a Nazarene preacher. Some of you might remember him. He was about that tall. And I'd met him a few times, and he told the same poem every time. And he told me the same story every time. And so he came here, and I was sitting there, and he launched into the same thing again. And I was just sitting there and I was looking around like I wasn't listening to him. I really didn't want to hear it because I'd heard it a number of times already. And he stopped about halfway through and he says, are you listening to me? And I said, what? Like, you know. He said, are you listening to me? I said, Amos. That was his name, Amos. He was over 90 years old. I said, Amos, you've told me that same story three times already. And I really don't want to hear it again. And he was like, he didn't have anything else to say. All I can tell you is the doctor took my gizzard out the other day. All I can tell you is I got a pain in my sacroiliac. My hip's been bothering me really bad lately. I may have to go to the doctor for the 50th time. And he told me there's a problem over here and problem over there. How are you doing? Oh, well, I'm not doing so good either. Let's sit down and exchange doctor stories. God help us. You know what? Invite him over to your house if you want to do that. And talk about it at home, but don't talk about it in the church. God's good. Amen. There's a revival waiting to happen. Amen. I'm going to go forth. I'm not going to sit around, amen, and exchange stories like that. You know what? A church that goes is a church that grows. And I didn't get that from the internet either. That was right here from me. Aren't you proud of your pastor tonight? A church that goes is a church that grows. The reason we don't grow is because we're not going. And I say that to every one of us here tonight. Amen. We need to exercise. We need to go forth. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Is it possible that there are childish things in the kingdom of God? I would say yes. I would say that the childish things, you know what childish things are? Those of you that have children, those of you that have been around children, you know what childish things are. He took my little Lego man with tears streaming down their face. It's a big deal. He hit me. He called me a dummy. I won't go into that one. But my wife said they used to say that to each other. I guess I will go into it, if that's all right. And Mama got real upset, and you said, you need to say you're sorry. And they said, sorry. So then it became, dummy, sorry. Dummy, sorry. Dummy, sorry. Childish things. Childish things. But you know what? When we grow up, we don't do that anymore. I don't say, dummy, sorry. And then before you know it, we're on the floor wrestling with each other and slapping each other. Yeah, that goes on. I know it goes on in your homes. Because that's the way it is in a home. But when we grow up, somebody said grow up. Grow up. Before we say something, we think about how it's going to affect that person. We put away the selfish, childish things. And we say, I'm not going to say that or I'm not going to do that because it'll make them feel like I don't love them. And I do love them. And I do care about them. Amen. Mom and Dad, do you have faith in what the pastor is preaching tonight? I hope you do. Because the day comes when a child grows up and becomes a man and becomes a woman. Amen. And now it's no longer me, it's others. Now it's no longer sitting around playing video games. I've got to go out and do some serious stuff in life. And get going and get some things accomplished. And do some things. Achieve some things. Reach for some goals in life. And do something for God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm finished here tonight. Somebody could say, praise the Lord. All right. I knew that's who was going to say that. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Amen. The function of the church. If we don't go, we're going to shrivel up and die. And we're going to have to go back to the simplicity of the Word of God all over again. And we're going to have to regroup and say, we've got to work on this, we've got to work on that, we've got to go back to the basics. But you know what? We've been here long enough that we don't need to go back to the basics. We need to go on from here and pray for others and edify one another. Edify one another. Have a word of edification when you're praying. I've got a phone call to make this week because I had a dream and someone that I know was in that dream. And I'm just going to call them. And just tell them, thinking about you, praying for you. Amen. I texted a young man in New Mexico that's starting a church. Texted him just the other day. Hey, I'm just thinking about you. Hope you have a really good service on Sunday. And he texted me back, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Because I know what it's like to be a young man struggling to start a work for God. I know the difficulties and all the things that are associated with that. I could sit over here and say, yeah, well, you need to do it this way and that way and the other. I've been down that road before. You know what? We need to grow up. and go down to the level, not that we're higher than them, but just in our understanding and in our relationship. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up before the Lord because I want you to succeed. Amen. Brother Mike, I want you to succeed. I want you to do well. I pray for you often. Amen. And he knows that. We have real good Bible studies together, and we've developed a real friendship. Amen. And you know what? There's been times that I haven't felt like doing that, but I know enough to know that I need to do that. You know, it'll work on your job. It'll work in your home. Amen. Don't put your brother down all the time. You notice I said all the time. Don't be critical all the time. Don't treat your brother or your sister like a second-class citizen. You say, oh, well, yeah, that's fun. You're just a child. Those are foolish, childish things. And we go through those stages. But the day comes, amen, the day comes when I see little Isaac pick up his brother and take him out the door of the church. And I thought, he's growing up. Amen. You could say, oh, let him sleep here tonight. Would you do that? You wouldn't do that. Why not? He doesn't know why. Because you love your brother. You wouldn't want him to wake up to a dark church. Most days you love your brother. Praise the Lord. And you don't want him to wake up in the middle of a dark church and have to experience, they forgot me. I must not be that important. Praise God. But we grow up and we say, Nathan is important to me. I could pick you apart, Nathan. I could pick everybody apart here tonight. That's the devil's job. But you know what, Nathan? I'm not going to do that because I care about you and I love you. And the same with Gavin and the same with Garrett and Elizabeth. Amen. And Tessa and every one of us. All these, Colton that's here tonight. Amen. Yeah, you too. I love Paisley. She's a pretty little girl. Amen. And God's got a plan for her life. And her brother, Wesley, and all the rest of them, Matthew and little Maya, amen, and Daniel. They've got a beautiful future. Am I missing anybody here tonight? I hope not. Praise God, because I love you, and I want the best for you. Can we stand together tonight? Amen. Put your place in that person that's going through a divorce on your job. Put yourself in the place of someone that's in distress and go out of your way. Go out of your way to minister to them and to help them, to edify them, to build them up. Praise God. And I'll tell you what will happen. You'll begin to have a harvest in your life. You'll build a friendship. You'll build a camaraderie. Amen. Well, I'm just going to mind my own business. Hey, go ahead and mind your own business, but when the opportunity makes itself available, just speak a word of encouragement, and you'll make a friend. You'll make a friend, and then they'll begin to open up to you, and you can tell them, hey, listen, I don't know the answer to your problem, but I know what the answer to my problems was and is. It's Jesus Christ. And you'll experience a harvest, a great harvest. Lord, we lean on you tonight. God, help us to see what the church is really all about. Help us tonight. Touch us tonight. Lay your hand upon us, O God. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us to come to maturity, Lord, where we can stand against the wiles of the devil, where we can have new babies in the church. Amen. That will grow, become strong individuals, strong in the faith, strong in the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name tonight, in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord thanks together?